ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्यानया भगवता परिकर्म शुद्धा ज्ञानं विरक्ति मदभूत निशितेन येन चिच्छेद संशयवदन् निज जीवकोशम् तस्यानया भगवता परिकर्म शुद्धा ज्ञानं विरक्ति मदभूनिशिचेन तेन चिच्छेद संशयपदं निज जीवकोशम् तस्यानया भगवता परिकर्म शुद्धा तस्य
his
अनया
by this
भगवतः
of
the supreme personality of Godhead
of the supreme personality of Godhead
परिकर्मा
activities in devotional service
शुद्धा
pure transcendental
सत्वा
existence
विरक्ति because of this he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubts thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego and the material conception of life translation responsibility By regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind.
Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind.
And could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Because of this,
he became completely detached. And attained perfect knowledge. By which he could transcend all doubts. Thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego. And the material conception of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
In the Narada Pancharatra, devotional service to the Lord is likened to a queen. When a queen gives an audience, many maid servants follow her. The maid servants of devotional service are material opulence, devotion, and mystic powers. The karmis are very much attached to material enjoyment, and the jnanis are very anxious to become free from material clutches, and the yogis are very fond of attaining the 8 kinds of mystic perfection. From the Narada Pancharatra, we understand that if one attains the state of pure devotional service, he also attains all the opulences derived from fruitive activities, empiric philosophical speculation, and mystic yoga practice. Srila Vidyamangala Thakur therefore prayed in his Krishna Kadamrita, "My dear Lord, if I have unflinching devotion to you, you can manifest before me personally, and the results of fruitive activity and empiric philosophical speculation, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, become like personal attendance and remain standing before me as if awaiting my order." The idea here is that jnanis, by culture of Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, struggled very hard to get out of the clutches of material nature. But a devotee, by dint of his advancement in devotional service, automatically becomes detached from his material body. When the devotee's spiritual body begins to manifest, he actually enters into the activities in transcendental life. At present, we have contacted a material body, material mind, and material intelligence. But when we become free from these material conditions, our spiritual body, spiritual mind, and spiritual intelligence become manifest. In the transcendental state, a devotee attains all the benefits of karma, jnana, and yoga. Although he never engages in fruitive activities or empiric speculation to attain mystic powers, automatically mystic powers appear in his service. A devotee does not want any kind of material opulence, but such opulence appears before him automatically. He does not have to endeavor for it. Because of his devotional service, he automatically becomes Brahma Bhuta. As stated before, this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11:26. Mam Chiyo Vicharya Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunam Samadhyate Yetandrava Bhuyaya Dharapate. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, advance transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Therefore, because of his regular discharge of devotional service, a devotee attains the transcendental state of life. Since his mind is transcendentally situated, he cannot think of anything but the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the meaning of the word samsmarana anipurtya, by constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotee immediately becomes situated in Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva refers to the platform which is above the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered to be representative of the highest perfection. But one has transcended this mode and come to the stage of Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness, where the 3 qualities of material nature cannot act. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. If one has strong digestive power after eating, he automatically lights a fire within the stomach to digest everything and does not need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire of devotional service is so strong that a devotee does not need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from material attractions. A jnani may become detached from material attractions by prolonged discussion on subjects of knowledge and may in this way finally come to the Brahma Buddha stage. But a devotee does not have to undergo so much struggle. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains the Brahma Buddha stage without a doubt. The yogis and the jnanis are always doubtful of their constitutional position. Therefore, they mistakenly think of becoming one with the Supreme. However, a devotee's relationship with the Supreme Being, becomes manifest beyond all doubts, and he immediately understands that his position is that of eternal servant of the Lord. Jnanis and the yogis, without devotion, may think themselves liberated, but actually their intelligence is not as pure as that of a devotee. In other words, the jnanis and the yogis cannot become factually liberated unless they become elevated to the position of devotees. Ayushyachena param padapsada padudyadho anadudhishwadamadaya. Bhagavatam 10th canto 2nd chapter verse number 32. The jnanis and yogis may rise to the highest position, Brahman realization, but because of the lack of devotion unto the Lord's feet of the Lord, they again fall down into material nature. Therefore, jnana and yoga should not be accepted as the real processes for liberation. By discharging devotional service, Maharaj Guru automatically transcended all these positions. Since Maharaj Guru was a Shaktiyavesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he did not have to act in any way to attain liberation. He came from the Vaikuntha world or spiritual sky in order to execute the will of the Supreme Lord on earth. Consequently, he was to return home back to Godhead without having to execute jnana, yoga or karma. Although Buddha Maharaj was eternally a pure devotee of the Lord, he nonetheless adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach the people in general the proper process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. Very, very interesting talk. Very amazing, very long.
ओमकारस्य चनाचलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदाह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदपदम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणालिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश दुर्गाकान्त राधाकान्त तत्कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूदेवमात्रु नमाय चेते तमोष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणाः षोडश षोडशात्मकः सौरंग श्रीष्ठ भगवान वचासी में
हरे कृष्ण He has come to towards the end of past sense of Maharaj Prithu because after ruling over the earth, establishing religious principles, and performing so much of superhuman activities, now Prithu Maharaj has retired from family life, from kingly duties, and now he is towards his last stage of life, which is. Vanaprastha, approaching the forest, taking shelter of the forest, and taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, Prithu Maharaj is exemplifying the activities of a king in perfection. He ruled the kingdom perfectly, now he has retired perfectly. Now, what is the perfection of renunciation, which is nothing other than going back home, back to Godhead, in complete shelter of Krishna. That's why here it is mentioned. Prithu Maharaj completely focused his mind on Krishna after performing devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gives a comparison between different kinds of transcendentalists. First one, it's not a transcendentalist, that is a kavi or a fruity worker. Then, Jnani, who is the first stage of transcendental life, and then the yogi, and ultimately, a devotee. So it's mentioned that, Chaitanya is mentioned, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Ateva Ashanta. In this world, you will find everyone is miserable. Right? If we have trouble, we can go out and see. Something we can see in ourselves also. Everyone is miserable. Everyone is not at all peaceful. Ashanta. Disturbed. Yes, that's the age of Kali Yuga. There is one thing in common for all the residents of Kali Yuga, which is Ashanta. That is, or Upadrutaha. Bit more chaotic presentation in the first kind of Bhagavatam. Kali Yuga, mind is always disturbed, unfortunately. So we have difficulty focusing our mind on anything. Forget about chanting. We have difficulty focusing mind on anything. Under pressure, we may focus for some time. Then again, it will relapse. So that is the situation. And it is mentioned here. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. Why? Most of the people are in the category of Bhukti Kami. Bhukti Kami means those who are karmis, those who are after sense gratification. And if you are after sense gratification, there is no possibility of peace of mind. Prahlada Maharaj explains in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when one, he explains in an interesting way, when one's misery starts, he asks the question, when is one's misery starting? He says, Sukhaya dukha mokshaya sankalpa iha karmanaha. Non-devotees, many of these people, they have two objectives in life. One is sukhaya, they want sukha, happiness. Second, dukha mokshaya, they want freedom from misery. Sankalpa iha karmanaha, they are determined to pursue happiness and avoid miseries. But then next two lines, Satar aprav ihaya dukham. By this approach, what they receive? Only dukham. Even though they want to increase happiness and decrease suffering, but at the end of the day, it's all misery. Satar apnavati, always apnavati, obtain ihaya by this method, dukham. Then he says, anihaya sukhavukha. Anihaya. If one gives up this mentality of pursuing material happiness and avoiding material distress, if he avoids this consciousness, then what happens? One becomes happy. Isn't it quite revolutionary? If so, Prabhupada explains this point in the purport, that as soon as one plans for sense enjoyment, that point one misery begins. Very important point for us to remember. So that's why Bhukti Kami is miserable, because it's always planning for material happiness. So when we plan for material happiness, the seed of suffering is planted. Why? Because there is no question of permanent happiness in this world. So we want permanent happiness and we are planning for that, and it is not there, the seed of suffering is planted in the heart. Can you see the two sides of the same coin? We cannot avoid. So that's why it's meant, anihai sukhavadaha. If we can give up this mentality, then sukhavadaha will be covered by happiness, not by distress. So a bhuktikami is suffering and we can experience, and to the degree we have bhuktikam, to that degree we are suffering. We are not an exception, we also feel it. And bhukti, mukti, bhuktikami is also suffering because he is after something. He wants to get liberated from the material clutches. So there is a desire. So, it's the position of a siddhikami who wants all kinds of mystic perfections. And these mystic perfections are just like fire. You're playing fire in terms of our spiritual progress. Why? Because the mystic powers can deviate one very easily from the real objective of spiritual life. Very easily. Very easily. Because one thing, yeah, I can get so many followers. I can do so many things, and I'm now being famous. So one is deviated. So these are the weeds which grow, and they can derail our devotional train. So that is the problem with siddhikamis, and they don't have real interest in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are getting deviated. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, as an example, he didn't really manifest the so-called mystic perfection. Even though he had many devotees, or many, not devotees, many reporters used to ask Srila Prabhupada, what is your mystic power? What wonders can you demonstrate? Prabhupada used to say one simple thing. Look at this boys and girls, that's what Prabhupada said. Boys and girls, they used to do all simple activities before, but now they have transformed their life. And they can chant all day. If I tell them to chant 24 hours, they will chant 24 hours. This is called transformation. This is the real mystic power, that is transformation of the heart. Really speaking, when we experience transformation of the heart, and we experience glimpses of bhakti, glimpses of devotional service, glimpses of Krishna, then we get the realization that the real transformation or the real wealth is devotional service. The real wealth is Krishna. And service to them continues. So this is the realization of the devotee. And that's why devotee is able to continue devotional service. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. We perform the same activities day after day. Right? Same activities. Morning program, do we change our morning program? No. Samsara Dhamma, same prayer every day. Do we change? No. Do we change our Guru Pranam? Obeisance to the spiritual master? No, the same thing. Hare Krishna is the same. Prithi Puja is the same. After the chanting is the same. Guru Vandana is the same. Bhagavad is the same. In one sense, same book. Prasadam is the same. Practically every day is the same. Still, do we get really bored with this? No, there is a fresh experience. This is the reciprocation of Krishna. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord, situated in the heart of the devotee as Paramatma, refreshes the same activity, gives a new experience to the same activity. This is the function of the Supreme Lord out of His mercy. Refreshes. It's not the same. Even the relationship gets stale after some time. It starts like this, then goes like that. This is all the material relationship. Even opposite gender, same thing. The initial, the bubble will get burst. It's just a matter of time. But relationship with Krishna, it never happens. This is the amazing thing, because this is a heart-heart relationship with Krishna. It's amazing. So I'm getting it. This Krishna is the soul of the soul. He's the soul of the soul. Why is the soul of the soul? Because we are both the material body and our soul, the spirit soul, are coming from Him. भूतेर महत्तर ये स्थिति है कि कृतानाम जीव सस्मिता तो इधर चलो हरि आत्मेश्वर प्रिय हरि आत्मेश्वर प्रिय हरि इस आत्मेश्वर ही इस लॉर्ड ऑफ द सोल ही इस सोल ऑफ द सोल आत्मेश्वर प्रिय इस मोस्ट डियर नो वन कैन बी एस डियर एस कृष्ण इफ यू थिंक अबाउट एनीवन हु इज डियर टू यू थिंक अबाउट दैट एंड we feel we have affection for such a person. Maybe our friends, maybe parents, maybe wife, maybe child, and multiply them trillions of times. That much is our connection to Krishna. It is practically, at this point, it is impossible to fathom. However, that is the reality. That's why Dhruva Maharaj, he had so much affection for his mother. He was concerned about his mother. Then it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that Dhruva Maharaj's mother told. Dhruva Maharaj said, whatever love a mother can give for the child, you multiply that by millions of times. That is the love of the Supreme Lord. Such an intimate connection. So that's why a devotee is satisfied in our own level. We may not experience the complete degree because still we are conditioned. But still, we can experience our connection to Krishna. That is bhakti yoga. So here, the example is given. Bhakti is compared to what? Devotional service is compared to what in this part of the beginning? In your words?
Queen.
A queen. When a queen is going somewhere, so there will be an entourage following the queen. Queen will not go alone. So many people are around to take care of everything. And who is this queen? The queen of bhakti. She is the Rani. Bhakti is the Rani. She is the queen of bhakti. So then what happens? That's why there is a very beautiful verse Prabhupada is writing the translation from the Krishna Karnamata. Bhakti sthiratai bhakti stoi sthirataya bhagavan yadistya kalayanam bhavati tibetishwara murti मुक्ति स्वयं अकृतांचल सेवते स्मान धर्मात्मा गतया समय प्रतीक्षा बिल्कुल ठाकुर की हिज रियलाइजेशन अबाउट भक्ति इट्स नॉट ऑर्डिनरी भक्ति बाय द वे पर ऑल्सो मेंशन भक्ति स्वयं भक्ति डिवोशन अंटू यू कृष्णा स्थिरतरा भगवान यदि सिया स्थिरतरा स्थिरतरा इट्स वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग टर्म इज यूज्ड स्थिरा व्हाट्स द मीनिंग ऑफ स्थिरा Stable. What is Thiratara? Then Thiratara means one level above Thira. So scientific, you know, the relative and superlative degree is there. You know, there's a standard, then the relative, then the superlative. So Thira, one level, Thiratara, next level, and Thiratama, most perfect. Stable, yes, okay. So Thira is referring to all kinds of sadhana bhakti. So what is this Thiratara Bhakti? What is that? Sadhana Bhakti is considered Sthira Bhakti. Then what is Bhakti Stoi Sthiratara? What is that Thiratara Bhakti? Raganika is also Sadhana Bhakti, right? Raganika Sadhana Bhakti. That has to be Sthiratama, right? So what is it doing? Bhav Bhakti, right? Bhav Bhakti. So, Vilamakal Thakur is, because that is exact devotional service. He's saying, Bhakti Stoi Sthiratara Bhagavan Yadisya. Yadisya, if one has such an advanced devotion to Krishna, Kalena Bhavati Divya Kishore Bhakti, one can start perceiving Krishna face to face. A Divya Kishore Murti, a transcendental, ever youthful form of Krishna, become manifest in front of him. From Bhava Bhakti, one has glimpses of Krishna, and in Prema, completely one can see Krishna all the time. Kale Bhavati Divya Kishore Murti. Next two lines are very famous, Prabhupada talks all the time. So that is the purpose. That is that. Mukti Mukulidanchan Sevatesman. Mukti means liberation from the material clutches. The yogis are after that many times. Even the jnanis are after that. Right? They They are after this mukti. They want to get freedom from this material clutches because it is full of suffering. But for a devotee on that highest platform, what happens? Muktir mukilita jay mukilita jay, it's like this. I am here to serve you. Please engage me in your service. Mukulita Anjali, Sevate Sman, waiting for order. Then, Ka Dharmatha Kamagade Samaya Pradiksha. Samaya Pradiksha means waiting. I don't know when is the devotee is going to call me. I want to serve. Who? Dharma, religiosity, Artha, all the material opulences, Kama, or sense gratification. All are waiting. Whenever you want, I am ready to serve you. But a devotee doesn't want liberation. A devotee doesn't want just religiosity or pious activity. A devotee doesn't want sense education. He doesn't want all wealth, opulence. He is not interested in anything because he has some understanding of Krishna. He is experiencing Krishna to certain degrees and here to a great degree. So that's why it's mentioned. Dharmatha Kamagare Samaya Pratiksha. This is Milimukha Thakur because his platform, he started from Bhava platform pretty much. he came to the Bhava platform and then reached the Prema platform. So, very, very advanced devotee. So, that's why it is so important to come to the stage of remembrance of the Lord. Right? What is the purpose? What is the guiding principle of sadhana bhakti? What is the guiding principle of the devotional service that we are doing? Always remember Krishna. And never forget him. So what is smartavya? Tatram Vishnu vismartavya nak jatachit sarva vidhi nishedayoho ekayoreho kinkara. All the rules and regulations what we perform. Everything is kinkara means servant. Servant of these two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So all the activities what we do, everything is to fulfill these two principles. Or actually one principle, always remember Krishna. One is by positive affirmation, one is by negation, right? Always remember Krishna. Everything is based on that. Everything. Everything is for this one purpose. So we need to, this is on the sadhana stage. Bhava Bhakti, let us be in the future. Prema Bhakti, very advanced in the future. But now, even now practicing devotional service, we need to think about Krishna. Smaranam is very important. That's why in the 7th canto, the 5th chapter 23 verse, Prahlada says, Ramanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Palu Sevanam Archanam Mantaram Dasam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. Here the third item is Smaranam. So if we have hearing and chanting about Krishna and engaging in devotional service, then one will come to the platform of Smaranam or remembrance. And that's why it's mentioned here, you can see exactly. Purusha Maharaj became transcendental in mind and could therefore constantly think of the Lord's feet of the Lord. This is an attainment, this is an achievement. It is not something which is so easy constantly thinking about Krishna. It's an attainment for a devotee. And that's why it's mentioned Samsmarana Anupurtiya. Samsmarana, constant Lord. Anupurtiya perfected that. So this is a stage we all have to come to. That is the remembrance of Krishna. And that is, it will not happen overnight, but through steady practice. That's why there is a mention, the initial stage is called Smarana. I will briefly explain this one. Smarana. Smarana means intermittent remembrance of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, short recollection. That is, we are going about in our day, maybe doing devotional service, maybe at work. Sometimes, we think about Krishna. Anyone familiar with that? Yeah, yes? Then this is the beginning of Smarana. So if one is engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna and performing devotional service, then we will initially hear a little bit about Krishna. Everything about little bit about Krishna. Hear that. So this is Smarana. Then there is the next stage. That is called Dharana. And Dharana stage is one is able to withdraw, purposely one can withdraw the senses from other sense objects and one can think about Krishna. Still, it's not steady. At least, for a longer period of time, one is able to think about Krishna. That's the next stage. So, initially, with little bit of shraddha, little bit of practice, one can have some smarana, that is, some short remembrance of Krishna. However, if one actually follows bhajana kriya, not steady, anishta bhajana kriya, not steady, still in that one will be able to purposely withdraw senses from everything and think about Krishna. As an example of this is while chanting we are able to focus on the holy name, we are able to hear what we are chanting. That's the key. Then if one is further advanced, one can come to the stage of dhyana. So that's where actually the smarana starts. Because the dhyana means one can actually fix one's mind on Krishna. As an example, if one is chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, from beginning till end, one is able to hear what one is chanting. That is the sign of steadiness. So yeah, that is dhyana that one can attain only in the stage of Nishtha Bhakti. That is the next. See the progression of smarana. So smarana or remembrance is one thing by which one can evaluate ourselves or evaluate a devotee where one is at. The neophyte means life is going on, sometimes you think about Krishna. Before advance means more focused remembrance of Krishna. Steadiness means one can be fixed in thinking about Krishna. Primarily, almost. Okay, it's not perfection. Then the Dhruvana Smriti. Dhruvana Smriti means it is like a smooth flowing of a river where a nectar of meditation on Krishna is just flowing always in the mouth. So one doesn't need to even endeavor. That is Dhruvana Smriti. Dhruva means six Dhruvana Smriti. And then finally it is called, that is the Raga Bhakti that comes. Dhruvana Smriti, not in the initial stages. And Samadhi, that is the final state, Samadhi, where one is with Krishna. So Samadhi means here, as it is mentioned here, we can hear the Bhagavad about Samadhi. Here, the Buddha Maharaj is in the Samadhi because he got completely freed from material clutches. And Prabhupada explains, at that stage, one's spiritual intelligence becomes manifest. One's spiritual mind becomes manifest. And one's spiritual body becomes manifest. So that is the ultimate. So even the smarana, even if you consider the remembrance, on the highest stage, one can see that one is with Krishna. Prabhupada mentioned, one is already engaged in activities with Krishna. Even one may be meditating. So that is samadhi, that is the perfection of smarana. And that is mentioned here as samsmarana anubhutya, by perfecting constant remembrance of the Lord's name of Krishna. In Nectar Devotion, there is a beautiful pastime of a Brahmana in Pradishthanapura. You might have read briefly a little pastime from South India. He heard in one of the Bhagavatam class that the Lord will accept our offerings, the devotee's offering, even if you offer everything in the mind. And one will get the same result as if one offers physically, externally. Hearing this, this Brahmana was not very well to. He took bath in river Godavari and he started sitting on the bank of Godavari and he started meditating on the Supreme Lord. So what he did? He had his deity of the Lord in front of him, in the mind. And he would go to all the rivers. Physically, in his mind he would go. We usually chant the mantra, right? Ganga, Devana, Cheva, Godavari, Narasarasari, Navadesh, Nirgavari, Jarasim, Sanjit, Guru. Okay, all the holy rivers, you please come into this water and you take the water and offer to the Lord. That's how you do the waiting for the Lord, appreciate. But here, he didn't do that. In the mind, he will go to Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, etc. He will go everywhere, collect water in golden pots. He would perform Abhishek, waiting for the Lord. Then after that, he would do beautiful dressing, arati, and then he would cook personally different items. And he would personally offer this to the Lord, everything in his meditation. And if that became his habit, he started doing that every single day. And he had the capacity to control the mind. That's why pranayama is used. It's mentioned before, doing everything, he used to pranayama to steady the mind, and he used to go through this meditation. Nowadays, guided meditations are very popular, right? People are ready to pay money. There are many apps to do guided meditation. Here, see, he's already doing that meditation. Very active meditation in the mind. And he was doing day after day, year after year. And one day, he was cooking sweet rice for the Lord in the morning. And he cooked everything and he left it. And he wanted to offer this sweet rice to the Lord in the mind, please remember. And he was thinking, this sweet rice is too hot for the Lord or not? Because sweet rice is cooler than tastier. He wanted to cool it down. So he sticked his finger into the sweet rice. Immediately his finger got burnt. Actually it got burnt. The whole thing happened in the mind, but actually his finger got burnt and he broke his meditation and he came to external consciousness. Actually, then his finger got burned. But it was just a meditation. This offering of this devotee was seen by the Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha in the spiritual world. And he starts laughing, starts smiling. See my devotee who is offering me sweet rice and he is accepting. And the spiritual world is seeing. And now his finger got burned. It became real. Sweet rice became real. Even though it was his meditation. So Lakshmi Devi, his consort, eternal consort, was wondering, hey, what's happening here? Why Lord Narayan is just smiling out of the blue? Nothing has happened. So Lord Narayan, he didn't speak anything. He sent his dutas, his messengers, go. They went down to the bank of Godavari, got this Brahman and brought this Brahman to the spiritual world. And in front of Lakshmi Devi, Lord Narayan personally narrated this story. This is what happened. So this is the power of meditation. Power of remembrance. That's why even from, right from the beginning, remembrance of Krishna is so important. It is right from the sadhana. And what is what to meditate on? What is mentioned? What was he meditating on? Prathama Raj. Anyone know? What are they meditating on? Simple. Lord is seated in the Lord. So the Lord's feet is compared to what? There are many analogies given. Let's go through it. What is so significant about the Lord's feet of the Lord? What the Lord's feet of the Lord is compared to? Or feet of the Lord is compared to? To? Lotus. That's why it's called Lotus feet, right? Straight away we say Lotus feet. We don't even say feet. It's the Lotus feet. Namah Pangaja Namabhaya, Namah Pangaja Mahadine, Namah Pangaja Nesraya, Namaste Pangaja Andre. Kunti Maharani in the 8th chapter. Glorifies, right in the beginning, she glorifies Krishna's different bodily features. And all Krishna's bodily features are compared to Lotus. Namaste Pangaja Andre. Andre means feet, Andhai means not more than one, but plural. Namah Pangaja Andhai. So she is paying obeisance to the lotus feet of Krishna. So yes, Krishna's feet is so beautiful, so we always refer to Krishna's feet as lotus feet. It's so beautiful because have you seen lotus? Have you seen blooming lotus? Especially in the lake. Have you ever seen? So beautiful. Probably you may not see here, but if you go to India, where I am from, when you go to down south, there is a place where all the flowers come from. And when you go through bus or train through that area, you can see so many lakes, and all these lakes are full of beautiful lotuses. Then you see why Krishna is glorified. Krishna's feet is glorified as Pangaja, as lotus. Similarly, all this. Everything, all about Krishna is like lotus, everything is so beautiful. It's reddish too. Lotus are reddish, pinkish, reddish. That is Krishna's lotus feet. What else Krishna's lotus feet is compared to? Anyone knows?
Boat.
Who said boat? Okay. Samasthitaye padavallavaplavam mahatpadam punyesho murare bhavam pudhuvatta padam paramam padam 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 yadvihataam nadesham. This is a verse completely about lotus feet of Krishna. This comes in Lord Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter, 10th chapter, 15th verse. Krishna's lotus feet. How many times Pada is mentioned? Pada means feet. In this verse, I think about 7 times Krishna's lotus feet is mentioned. Padam, padam, yet, yukadam, nadesha. It's mentioned. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was asked by his disciples, why we are talking all the time about lotus feet? what is great about lotus feet? Please explain. Then Srila Prabhupada starts chanting this verse, you know, with everyone. He said, okay, I will chant, you repeat. Samashtaye padavallavam. Then the devotees would repeat. And Prabhupada chanted so many times that it got memorized by everyone. So how many times he chanted? What happened? Samashtaye padavallavam. If he takes shelter of the boat of lotus feet of Krishna, so it is compared to a boat. Krishna lotus feet is compared to a boat. Mahatpadam, that's a Mahatpadam, it's not a small boat, it's a big boat. It's a big boat. Punya Shokrare. Why? Because if there is a boat, what is the use of the boat? We can get into that boat. And all can get into that boat. Not one or two. Millions of people?
Yes.
Trillions?
Yes.
Zillions?
Yes.
Anyone can take shelter of the Lord of Krishna. Then what happens? Bhavam Buddhi, what we have to cross? We have to cross the ocean of material existence, as is mentioned in this verse and so forth. Bhavam Buddhi. The Bhavam Buddhi, what happens in Bhavam Buddhi if you take the Lord's feet of Krishna, the boat of Lord's feet of Krishna? Bhavam Buddhi, Vatsapadam Paramapadam. Vatsapadam, Vatsapadam means how much water can you fit into the hoofprint of a calf? Vatsa is a calf. A calf's hoofprint, not even a cow, a calf's hoofprint, how much water one can fit in, the whole material ocean, the material existence will shrunk to that small quantity. Then we can easily cross over. That's why it's mentioned. Padam padam yat vipadam padesham. Here, this word is padam padam yat vipadam. Every step there is a danger. However, if you take shelter of Lord Vishnu Krishna, then there is something. So this is the glory of Lord Sri Krishna. Anything else? Lord Sri Krishna, anyone else is compared to Lord Sri?
First two cantos of Bhav.
Sorry?
First two cantos of Bhav.
Okay, very good. Very nice. First two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the Lord Sri Krishna. Then it progressively goes up. Very interesting. Isn't it? First two cantos, that's good. Very good. First two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is the Lord Sri Krishna.
Shudras?
Sorry?
Shudra. Like the
Shudras. Oh, okay, like Shudra. Okay, yes, that is a resting place for Shudras. That's right. And also Brahmacharis. Different examples. That is about the universal form, by the way. It's not really the person. It's not the person. Similarly, of the universal form, it is going to compare sometimes the Shudras, sometimes the Brahmacharis, sometimes the Brahmacharis, the heart of the Lord, different things are there. But coming to that point, Shriyo Nivaso Yasyora Panapatram Mukhandrisham Baho Lokapalanam Sariganam Padambujam. That is 1126. Shriyo Nivaso Yasyora. Lakshmi Devi is residing in the chest of the Lord. It's an abode of Lakshmi Devi. Panapatram Mukhandrisham. The Lord's face is just like the Panapatram. It's a receptacle with beauty. And Bahavolokapalanam, all the demigods, their refuge is the shoulders and hands of the Lord. And Saranganam Padambujam. And for the devotees, that is the Lord's feet of the Lord. The resting place of the devotees is the Lord's feet of the Lord. Saranganam. And the devotees are confident. They cannot stop glorifying and thinking of the Lord's feet of the Lord. As it is given here to the Maharaj. So that is Saranganam Padambujam. Always meditating on the Lord's feet of the Lord as it is given here. So this amazing aspect of the Lord's feet of the Lord. So in connection to Lord's feet of the Lord, that is the focus of the devotees because that is also mercy. Then it is mentioned further in Bhagavatam, in the third canto, very, very interesting verse. Because Brahma, he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Brahma sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So then it is mentioned the lotus feet of the Lord is just like a, it can fulfill all the desires. We went through that even in this purport. It can Pumsam Sukama Ivivitta Marge Abhyachita Kama Sukhati Patmam Pradashayanta Trubaya Hindu Mayukha Singh Mayukha Dhinna Vrijari Patram. The word is Kama Sukhati Patmam. Kama Dukhantri. Kama means desires. So whatever desires we have, collect all the desires, we put in there. We want all the material desires, even spiritual desires, anything. If one gets lotus feet of Krishna, all the desires are fulfilled. Mentioned. Even the fifth canto there is a mention of it. The same point is mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, how Krishna can fulfill all the desires. It's amazing. Lotus feet of Krishna. That's why devotees are glorifying, because they have the spiritual desires. And that's the shelter of all the mercy. Anything further? Do you want to know what is the smell of lotus feet of Krishna?
Tulsi.
Yeah, tulsi is there. And do you want the smell of lotus feet of Krishna? Who wants to smell the feet of Krishna?
Saffron dust.
Who wants to smell it? Yes, saffron dust is one. Who wants to smell the feet of Krishna? Now we are going to smell the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay? This is a very, very interesting verse. I will chant this verse, because this, how can you smell the lotus feet of Krishna? I like this verse. It's from the third canto, 9th chapter, verse number 5. I will read the verse actually, and then read the translation as well.
Ye tutva diya charanam bhuja kosha gantham jignani karna vivara sudivana neetam bhaktya neeta charana parayachatesham Nāpaisinātha hridayam guruha sapamsa.
Oh my lord, person who smells the aroma of the lotus feet carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of the ears, accept your devotional service. For them you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So here the question: how can we smell the lotus feet of Krishna? How? Through the
ears.
Through the ears. That's Shruti Vata Nita. Karna Vivarehi. Karna Vivarehi means in the holes of the ears. Karna Vivarehi. Shruti Vata Nita. Shruti Vata Nita. Shruti Vedic literature. If you want to smell Krishna lotus feet, yes, you can go to the altar. You don't need to. Say, for example, if you worship Sadhya, you smell the Lord before worshiping me, and smell that an item of devotional service. But one can smell the lotus feet of Krishna through the ears. Through Bhagavatam, that's what we are doing. Have you ever? How can we see Krishna?
Through the ears.
Can you see? Shudayakshana Vardha. Brahma, even third kind is very interesting. Brahma is telling everything. Shudayakshana Vardha and Nakhumsa. Shudayakshana, Shudayakshana, Ekshana, seeing. So everything through ears. So, if our ears are not functioning, it's a problem. Take another ears. You can read, that's of course very good. Do you want to taste the lotus feet of Krishna? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. So it's mentioned, do you know how it tastes like? It's from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know what's the taste of Krishna's feet? Any guess?
Not like ours.
Of course. Better not to mention about ours. It is mentioned, Padambuja Makaranda Liham satam, makaranda liham. Nectar. What nectar? Makaranda means the honey. So only comparison can be given is that of honey. So it mentions the devotees of the Lord are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. Who? Devotees are accustomed to licking. Usually we don't lick, right? We are not supposed to lick so much. We know who licks. We are not supposed to lick. But devotees are licking all the time the lotus feet of Krishna, the honey of the lotus feet of Krishna. How? How are they licking the honey of lotus feet of Krishna?
Honey.
Any idea? Exactly. Same thing. You know? What? You know, by talking about Krishna, by glorifying Krishna. See, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, can you see how all the sensory perceptions are fulfilled and coming to the perception? Lotus feet of Krishna. Just hearing Krishna. So much power is there hearing about Krishna through our 2 ears. So powerful. We take it so casually, but here are the realizations of
those who have perfected their lives, just like here. And see, in this purport, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge, by which he transcends all doubts. So it is mentioned again in the third canto that Krishna's lotus feet is the source of all knowledge. Savidya adashrayama, savidyaya. All the vidya, all the knowledge is taking shelter of where? Krishna's lotus feet. So can you see? All encompassing. Ichchavidhanam vijapada pallavam. The fifth candidate is mentioned. Ichchavidhanam vijapada pallavam. That is, as I mentioned earlier, whatever we can think of, whatever desires we have, everything is included in the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's why even the old holy tirthas are taking shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. And that's why Krishna is known as, Krishna's lotus feet is known as? Tirthapadam or Tirthaspadam, couple of words are used in that kind of. Tirthapada or Tirthaspadam, abode of all the places of pilgrimage. If you come to Radha Galava, all the holy places are already there. If you are in the temple room, we are in the lotus feet of the Lord, this is Tirthaspadam, this is Tirthapada. So we get everything just by approaching the lotus feet of the Lord. Then there is another very interesting analogy to describe lotus feet of the Lord.
Is Prabhupada also Krishna's lotus feet or not?
Yeah, Prabhupada, one who is sitting at the lotus feet of the Lord. And all masters who sit at the lotus feet of Prabhupada. So see, Prabhupada is here, Krishna is here, everyone else is here. So he is at the lotus feet of Krishna and all other masters are at the feet of Prabhupada. So that is Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has two meanings. Prabhupada means two meanings. One who is at the feet of Prabhu, Prabhu's path, or other people are sitting at the feet of Prabhupada's feet. The master, he is the master. He is giving the spiritual knowledge. Another interesting analogy about lotus feet of Krishna.
It's the origin of Ganges.
And? What is that?
It's the origin of Ganges.
It is the origin of Ganges, but analogy. Any analogy can you think of? Krishna's lotus feet is a fiery comet. Fiery comet. Why? So far it was all nice. It was like the flower, it was like the honey, beautiful aroma. But a fiery comet can burn. What can burn? What gets burned by the lotus feet of Krishna, thinking about lotus feet of Krishna by doing devotional service?
Karma.
More specifically. Yes, karma definitely will get burned. What's the root of karma?
Desire.
Exactly, desire. What kind of desires?
Material
desires. Exactly, material desires. So it was mentioned in the 11th canto. Tavamri ashubhashya dhumaketu. Ashubhashya, ashya means desire. Ashubha or material desire, which are not sufficient. Dhumaketu can burn all the material desires. Isn't it very good? Are we suffering from material desires? It's not the problem with the activities, but if we have the material desires, then there is something between us and Krishna. By chanting Krishna's name, by doing devotional service, by associating with the devotees, and by performing devotional service, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by so taking shelter of the Lord of Krishna, Krishna can burn all the material desires. Okay, one more analogy about Lord Shri Krishna. Can you think of anything? I tell you, Krishna's lotus feet is compared to an umbrella. Umbrella. Why Krishna's lotus feet is compared to an umbrella?
We can
give the shelter. Shelter from what? Misery. Okay. Exactly. Tapatrayana abhyasasya khore sandalke manasya bhavadhanisha. Pashyami vanya charananta vangdi dvantara vatra namrata vyosha. It's a prayer by Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita to the Lord. He is acting himself as a conditioned soul, even though Uddhava is the eternal associate of the Lord. He is saying, I am suffering by, as you mentioned, tapatraya, threefold miseries. Santapyamana, okay? Santapyamana. Santap means misery. I am just going through this misery.
ಸರಿ ಸಂತಪ್ಪೆ ಮಾಡಿದ್ರೆ ಅವರು ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನೇ ಚರಣಂತವಾಗಿ ಐ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಸಿ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ದನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ದಂತಾದ ಪತ್ರ ಅಮೃತ ವರ್ಷ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆರ್ ಆತಪತ್ರ ಆತಪತ್ರ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅಮೃತ ದಂತಾದ ಪತ್ರ ಅಮೃತಾಭಿ ವರ್ಷ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಾಲಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್ ಹೀಟ್ ಸೋ ಹಾಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ 50 degrees ಮೇ ಬಿ 55 can't even go out. So if there is an umbrella, that is insufficient. And this umbrella can spray nectar. Amrita. He said, Amrita, nectar spraying umbrella. That's Lord Shri Krishna. That's what he said. Dantada Patra Amrita Kosha. So see the glories of the Lord Shri Krishna. So it's mentioned. So it's amazing it is. So for a devotee who takes shelter of the Lord Shri Krishna, doesn't need anything else. Not unlike Kavis or Gyanis. But here the example is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. If he has strong digestive power, we don't need to take any medicine. Eat as much as you want. The fire, the digestive fire will come, everything will be burned and we get energy, we become energetic. As you get older, you know, you start regulating. Even I cannot eat everything that I want, which I used to. I had to control now. Because I feel uncomfortable, simple. If I eat too much, I feel very uncomfortable and I can't digest. Previously, a big meal, no problem. Lunchtime, another meal, no problem. Next evening, another meal, no problem. Heavy meal in the morning means 4 o'clock, not hungry. 5 o'clock, not hungry. Because there's no fire. Fire is reducing the body. That is a symptom of weakness of the body. No fire, not even fire. Okay? So, bhakti is like strong digestive power. So it can burn everything and it can give all the results. Because if you digest, you get all power, right? You get the all the results. Bhakti can give everything. Whereas karma, jnana, yoga, etc., just like medicines, we have to take this medicine. That medicine you get to digest. So nothing is required in bhakti. Bhakti is like full digestive power. Eat prasadam, be happy. That is bhakti process. So that's what's mentioned here. So that's why you mentioned Srila Vishwanatha Thakur gives the following example in the Bhagavad. If one has strong digestive power, after eating, he automatically lights a fire within his stomach to digest everything and does not need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire of devotional service is so strong that a devotee does not need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from the material attraction. The jnani may become detached from material attraction by prolonged discussion on the subject of knowledge and may in this way finally come to Brahmabuddha stage. But a devotee does not have to undergo so much trouble. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains Brahmabuddha stage without a doubt. See that? So we discussed why it is possible. Krishna, Lotus Feet, is the source of everything. So we don't need to do anything but devotional service. But that we have to follow. And we have to do our devotion. We have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we naturally start thinking about Krishna. Then, as now, Prithumara has perfected remembering Krishna. Perfected that. Similarly, we can start our baby steps in remembering Krishna. Initially, it can be once in a while, but we can start with some focused remembrance of Krishna. In that way, we can make progress and come to perfection. So, I stop here and see if there are any questions.
What about the source of Ganges?
Yeah, Mother was mentioning that. Yeah, he's Lord Shri, the source of Ganges.
And
that's
compared to the rubies.
Huh?
The names are compared to the
rubies. Yeah, that I chanted that verse, I think. Kripaya Hindu Mayuka Minam Vilichaya Patra. Nakhendu. Krishna's whole body, another Krishna's whole body is compared to what? One more analogy is there. Indu. You know what is Indu? Maybe it was name, but apart from that, what is the meaning of Indu? Not Sindhu, Indu. Indu means?
Moon.
Moon. Yeah, so Krishna's face is moonlight. You know, the whole description is there in Chaitanya Devadatta, you were explaining. Krishna's cheeks are like moon. You know, his face, his smile is like a moon. The whole face and all the limbs are like a moon. Feet is also compared to, each of the nails are compared to moon. So that's very much. Now, Hindu. Okay? Yeah.
Like we are saying that we don't need to follow the jnanis or yogis who are after different things, and everything is included in bhakti. But do we have to sometimes borrow some principles or some things from them in to aid our bhakti or something like that?
For example,
some pranayama or brahmavidya exercises to maintain our body.
So the question is, do we need to borrow anything from Kamis or Gyanis like pranayama or anything like that to aid our bhakti? That we take not necessarily from Kamis or Yogis, we take from everywhere. Right? If we want to aid our bhakti, in the sense if you want to maintain our body, we take help from all different kinds of sources. So that is it. If you want to sit straight, we can do some yoga.
Accept whatever is given.
Exactly, whatever is said or to bhakti we like accept. That's fine. But we are not taking the process for Krishna. That is imperfect. We are not taking that. That's why it's mentioned in the purport. Even the yogis and gyanis, they may go to a higher level, but still they have to fall down. Because they are not respecting the Lord's feet of Krishna. Ayukya Krishna Param Padamara Padam Jyatavana Anandarishma Dhamataya. Second chapter, demigods are praying. You get to the higher stages, padam diyato, one still falls, Gyanis and Yogis, they fall. Anadata Yushmadaraya, anadata means without giving proper respect to Yushmadaraya, your Lord's feet. Because Krishna now is the womb of Mother Devaki. So, the demigods are praying, mentioned this story. Okay, any final question? Yes, ma'am.
What was the name of the place
where
you mentioned
a
lot of
lotus
flowers?
You wanted to hear the place name?
Yeah.
Tawala. It's in Tamil Nadu. It's in the border of Kerala, Tamil Nadu. So when I go down from Kerala, I'm going to that many times. So that's where all the flowers are. Many places. I'm just giving one example, which I saw personally.
It's not, we never find
it. Lotus there? South, there are a lot of places, lots are there.
In our New Go platform, there's a lot of places.
In Chennai?
Yeah.
Possible. You can see Mayapur if you go. No, it has to be there. Mayapur if you go, Narasimha Devi is decorated with lots of flowers. I used to go to a Vishnu temple when I was a child. You know, the only flower they accept is lotus. Every day there will be whole body of the lotus decorated with lotus garlands and lotus flowers. Only lotus flowers. They want to flip lotus flowers. So. Yeah.
Just a comment. This part where the Prabhupada Krishna Chakravarti Thakur saying that the fire digests everything in the stomach. There's also a verse, dire verse in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila's instructions, where he says that the fire digests everything. And actually, this is a burning question I had for a long time. How can we make advancement in Krishna consciousness if the false ego is going to finally stop us from going to the real ego? And similarly, other arahatas are going to actually stop us. And
what is false ego?
Will stop us from going to the real ego. So the verse in the third canto also exactly says that by having a strong digestive power, it just digests everything, and bhakti is like that. And one actually doesn't have to make separate endeavor to address that false ego problem. Just keep doing the bhakti and that will digest everything.
Yeah.
Digest.
So the bhakti can burn the false ego. It's like a digestive energy. So that's why devotional service is compared to the 11th canto to having some prasada. Or eating food, right?
Burn the false ego or dissolve the false ego?
You can say dissolve, burn, but the reality is we will not have false ego, we will have a true ego. So the misidentification of the false ego is, sorry, true ego is false ego. So in other words, false is gone and the real ego. So by doing devotional service, we get, by eating, what do we get? Eating? What do we get? Strength? Second?
Satisfaction.
We get satisfaction, and then? Third?
Krishna
bhakti. Yeah, that is strength. And eating, strength, just eating, not prasad, anything. Strength, satisfaction, and our hunger is removed. Three things happen. Similarly, by performing bhakti, what happens? One, we get devotion to Krishna. That is like a strength, nourishment. We get nourishment. Then, we burn our material miseries. And what is the third? We get satisfaction. It's satisfaction. So that's something. Just one act is compared to digestion. We get the sleeping by having himself. Similarly, we get all the time. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam.